It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this past week has been quite an eventful week for me. I started off with a conversation with a fellow who was telling me that the raven's nest near his house had been taken over by a great horned owl. And that's the way the great horned owl works. That's the way they operate. They come into an area, they don't build a nest, they just find one that they like and they take it over. And it might be a red-tailed hawk, it might be a raven, might be a crow, but they're going to find a nest that suits them and they're going to just occupy it. And, heaven help the bird that comes back and tries to fight with the great horned owl over who gets the nest. So that was the beginning of the week, and I began watching an eagle's nest. Well, I've been watching the eagle's nest year-round, practically. And in this past week, last Tuesday, after the show, I noticed that she or he was perched on the edge of the nest, but I didn't see any sign of anybody in the nest. And then on Friday, I noticed that they were both on the nest and he flew away, but she remained, or she flew away and he remained. One of the birds stayed on the nest, and here yesterday again, still sitting on the nest. So she's got an egg or more in there, and she will be brooding that egg or those eggs to successful conclusion, I hope, with over the next 35 days or so. Eagles lay their eggs sequentially. It takes a day for them or 2 days for them to produce the second egg. First egg comes, they start brooding immediately. And what that means is that the first egg laid is the first egg hatched. And in the life of a bird like an eagle, a couple of days head start on your siblings can be a huge advantage. And if mom and dad are really good hunters and the food supply is plentiful, they'll bring in enough food to feed all the babies they might have, whether it be one, two, or three. But if the food supply is poor, or if mom and dad are new to the game and not really good at securing food, what might happen is that the oldest, the firstborn, will survive because it's going to be bigger than its brothers or sisters. It's going to crowd them out of the way and make sure that it gets fed first. And though that seems kind of cruel, it really ensures that at least one bird will survive through to adulthood in each nest. And that's basically what needs to happen. You need to have one bird come out of the nest each year as a successful offspring in order for the population to continue to rise. And it is rising. We have had a burgeoning bald eagle population here in northern Minnesota. It has been a wonderful success story. I tell the fifth graders when I talk to them that when I was their age, if you were lucky enough to see an eagle, you were absolutely blessed because there were so few around. They had been decimated by DDT, and it was really unusual to see an eagle back in the mid to late 50s, early 60s. Got my first report of a deer tick last week. There's a good sign of spring. Anytime the temperature climbs above 40 degrees, the deer ticks become active. Not the dogwood tick, not the wood tick, but the deer tick, the blackleg tick, will become active anytime the temperature climbs above 40 degrees. The wood tick, the dog tick, is not going to be around until it'll be sometime in May before we start to see dog ticks, wood ticks. They just have a different life cycle than the deer ticks. I had a little note. I've been out walking around in the woods quite a bit lately, and I recommend it right now because the snow is just like white concrete It's hard. It is impermeable. I haven't broken through anywhere that I've walked. You can go out in a bog right now and you can walk around in a bog like you're walking on a sidewalk. It's just wonderful. And you'll see a lot of amazing things in there. That ice layer that came from the rain back in February has really made a huge difference. And so I encourage you to get out and check it out. Go around and see what's going on out there, because it is pretty special being able to move around like that in the woods right now. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about our owl book that there were saw-whet owls calling right now. And I started off talking about the great horned owls who are on their nest right now and brooding their young, or maybe they're done brooding and they are actually feeding their young. It's kind of a early start for the great horned owls. I don't know if the enigma of the owl books are still available. We had two. We gave away one, and about to find out here. What's the word on the owl book? Are we
Gonzo?
No.
What? Oh, we got one available still.
We still have one.
We
available.
Still have a
but
book.
But you have news.
Oh. Nice.
We have a renewing member, Kathy and Scott Davich from Pequod Lakes.
Wonderful.
They appreciate all that John does. They're retired and they're digging it.
Cool. Thank you so much. Yeah. That is really nice to hear.
Kathy and Scott. And
yep.
And we heard we got a renewing member from Jesse Robertson from Bemidji.
All right. Super. And
they have an 8-month-old son who's the light of their life.
Oh.
Him with something good when they call him play.
There you
go. And what town? Bemidji.
Bemidji.
Well, if your 8-month-old makes it to Northern Elementary School, he will be treated to phenology when he gets to be a 5th grader. So,
all right.
Push him along in those tracks and make him a good phenologist before he gets there. It's always fun when I go to those classrooms like that and somebody is there and they say, oh, my mom and dad made me listen to that since I was just a little baby. So, yeah, I know what phenology is all about. That's always a good moment in my life. I know that kids are doing good in learning, and that's fun. So we do have the Enigma of the Owl book still available this morning. If you want to pledge your support to the Phenology Show or to the radio station, it doesn't have to be phenology that turns your crank. But if owls are part of your life and you'd like to learn more about them, this book is really a beautiful, beautiful addition to your library.
John, didn't I hear you say not that long ago that seeing a snow owl is not just a common occurrence?
Oh,
very rare.
Yeah, I would give up, some of the fingers of my right hand since it's pretty useless anyway. I'd give up this one for sure, or half of it anyway, if I could see a snowy owl. Yeah,
They're just that secretive.
They come down from up north in years when the food supply is kind of thin up there, and they get down to northern Minnesota and sometimes even further south. But they have eluded me, and I know a lot of people have seen them, including my wife and my neighbor, who saw one on Blue Heron Drive where I live, and I missed it. And it just wasn't there when I went down the road.
Are you talking about Marvin?
I am talking about Marvin.
I love it when you report on what Marvin has seen. So for me, that's one of my highlights of the Phenology Show.
Marvin and I have two different environments. He lives on the edge of a field, and he gets all of the open air kind of things. He'll see the ducks that are going to be coming in. You know, as the water melts now and these little ponds, these vernal ponds start to form in the fields. And Dallas was referring to this earlier as well. When these ponds form, a lot of that is runoff from the roads. And so a lot of salts get washed in there, and the deer will actually go in there after the pond is evaporated and kick up the mud to get the minerals, to get the salts out of there. And in the meantime, the ducks are going to be coming in there and landing in those little ponds, and they're going to be eating the grasses that are starting to grow underneath that water. So Marvin gets to see all of that, and Marvin will be, he'll be the first guy to tell me that the Northern Harriers are back. And I actually heard Kent having a conversation with Dallas Hudson this morning, and they were talking about how they were watching the Northern Harriers, that Kent had seen a male Northern Harrier. And Marvin tells me that every year the Harriers come back as soon as the fields are open, and they are getting awful close to being open. So I guess Northern Harriers should be on your list of things to be watching out for here in the middle of March, as well as, I mean, we are very close. I think the 23rd or 24th of the month, so 10 days from now, you should be seeing robins. That's our average return date for robins, blackbirds, killdeer, eastern bluebirds, red-tailed hawks. Then, and at the end of the month, the great blue herons. Always, the great blue herons are one of those birds that return based on day length, because in 34 years of keeping track, it's never been more than just, it's like the latest is April 4th. The earliest turned out to be March 17th, but that's an anomaly. If you look at it, in 33 years of records, I've got three dates, the 17th and two on the 21st. Otherwise, it's always between the 24th of March and the 4th of April. 30 dates between the 24th of March and the 4th of April.
Wow.
That's astonishing when you think about it. They're regular as clockwork. I mean, I can reliably tell people that, you know, by the end of March, the great blue herons will be back. And that's, yeah, I can make that prediction. Robins, on the other hand, I've had them as early as March 6th and as late as April 10th. So the robins are based on temperature. They come back when it's nice and warm. And we're actually doing a little science experiment with that right now in some of the fifth grades around the countryside. So talk to your kids. If you got kids in fifth grade, ask them if they're doing that little science experiment to see. They're taking high and low each day, doing the average, finding out what the average temperature is, and they're plotting that, and then they're going to plot that against the return of the robins. So it's going to try to disprove or prove our hypothesis, which is that robins come back based on temperature, and 37 degrees is what the temperature needs to be for robins to return. We're going to find that out, and we'll talk about it on Phenology or on our talkback show when the time comes. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you're out wandering and you're taking advantage of that hard, crusty snow and you want to get out in the bogs, it's a perfect time to be out there. You're going to see a lot of bog birch, little tiny seeds and bracts laying on top of the snow. The seeds from the speckled alders are falling out right now. I was down in Duluth for a program on winter tree identification. Harry Hutchins and I went down there, and we saw the Juneberry buds. And if you find a Juneberry right now, you're going to see a deep purplish brown bud and fine white hairs all along the edges of the bud scales. And that's visible right now, and it won't be long, and those guys will be coming out. And we talked about the deer. The deer are out right now. I mentioned during the talkback show the deer are coming out, and they are along the edges of roads or in fields, because as the snow melts back, there is some new growth or growth that occurred last year in the fall before freeze up. And if you get out there and really search, especially if you look for these little clumps of alfalfa and look right at the base, about a quarter inch of green is sticking up out of the ground. That is the alfalfa that is going to be coming up here in the next few weeks and starting to grow. If you were listening to the Daily Dose of Phenology for today's date, if you heard that earlier this morning, or if you tune in and hear it later in the day, you'll hear me referring to the fact that the paper birch catkins, the male flowers on the paper birch, are starting to become quite noticeable, becoming more erect and actually beginning to stretch out a little bit. But the important note to make about birch right now is that if you are looking across a lake, or if you're looking across a field, any place where you have an open area and you see birch on the far side of that open area, what you're going to see is not the white of the bark, but the red of the branches. and they are quite red right now and will be increasing in their color as we move further and further into spring. So watch the birch and notice how red they're getting. Pussy willows are out, and you should be able to find those pretty easily. In the next week or so, I would expect to see lots and lots more pussy willows. And final note for this morning's phenology show, and a good reason to take your ablutions outside, as I was walking to the outhouse this morning at about 4:45, I heard the ruffed grouse drumming. So spring is here. That's the phenology show for this week. As always, we encourage you to share your observations with us. And of course, this morning especially would be a good time to call and let us know you like what you hear and that you're willing to support it. 1-800-662-5799.